morning, everyone. Thank you for
That welcome. Yeah, you have to come along to a different church now as part of the reader training, and thank you very much for that. That kind of clears the deck a bit. I'm normally up at St. John the Evangelist in Upper Norwood. It's the big red brick place some of you might have seen on Auckland Road. Quite different in some ways from here, but not in many other ways. So one thing that's impressed me about here is the welcome that my son and I have received every week that we've come here. I think that says a lot about a church, for someone new who walks in to get a good welcome. That's part and parcel of what the gospel is about, because you needn't necessarily know who I am, but I got that good welcome anyway. So thank you very much for that. I'm going to preach this morning on that gospel reading, plus a little bit more that we heard. So in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I would just ask that some words of wisdom come from this mouth this morning that may be useful to people in the week. Amen. The theme of, as you know, this morning's sermon is the search for meaning. And we're given this picture of Jesus, and he's on his way north. He's moving away from Judea, and he's going back up home, really, to Galilee. And on the way, he's stopping in a part of the country that he might not necessarily stop in, and certainly many other Jewish people wouldn't hang around for long there. And he is, if you can picture it in your mind, at this well. And if you want to look on the internet, you'll find various pictures and a location for where people think this well was, at Sychar. And he bumps into this woman there, and they have this conversation. And it's relevant to us now. That's the point. It's relevant to us here in Croydon in 2011. And it's really all about how we go about getting meaning in life. Of course, they're not using that kind of language in that conversation. They're talking about, Jesus and the woman are talking about living water. And that's what should interest us, living water. To what extent do we have this living water in our lives? But what does it actually mean, living water? Living water. Any ideas what that means? What do you reckon the opposite of living water might be? Yeah, but dead water, isn't it? Living dead water. So brackish, yes, stagnant. Water that just, it doesn't move, does it? Living water, life moves. Living water moves. It's from a spring in the desert. Don't know if any of you have been to the desert here at all, or the wilderness anywhere. But when you come across a spring in the desert, or even, let's face it, here in England, if you've been out of London, and you go into some of the fields you see, maybe up along a hedgerow, there's a spring coming out, and it floods the field and the road some of the time. Anyway, that's what we're talking about, living water, something that moves. And so we need to think about, what is it that moves us in our life? How do we find meaning in daily life? Do we want to find meaning in daily life? I mean, I think some of the time we're so programmed up by modern living that we tend to forget about meaning. We're sort of on autopilot half the time. And we go about our lives without really thinking about what we're actually doing. We're so used to doing it. But in this passage, Jesus is saying to the woman, let's really think about life, where we're at, what we might do with ourselves, where we might go. It's quite interesting because if you've read further on in the New Testament and you're familiar with the writings of Paul, he makes a distinction between people who are awake and people who are asleep. And that fits in rather nicely with this idea of living water. Living water meaning in our lives if we are awake. If we want to wake up from that daily slumber we might unconsciously find ourselves in. So, where do we look for this meaning in our lives? How do we escape this sort of programming that we all let happen to ourselves? Well, one of the traditional places in Christianity for finding, going away and finding meaning is the wilderness, is the desert, where you are left with yourself and with God. And something that immediately strikes you in the desert is the silence. Nothing. You might hear the wind. And that is it. You are left with yourself. You can't blame anybody else for anything that goes wrong. And of course the opposite of that is you can take credit if things go right. But you are left confronted by yourself. And that's something else, I think, that we tend to shy away from these days. The woman at the well. She didn't want to be upfront with Jesus about everything in her life, but he knew anyway. And then he gently introduced her to the idea of thinking about her own life. He didn't condemn her. He wasn't nasty to her. They had this banter with each other. And yet, he asked her to look at her own life. And we must do the same thing. We might not want to all the time. We might not find it comfortable. I mean, the imagery from the desert, when the monks, or what became the monastic movement in the 4th century AD, they went out from places like Alexandria in Egypt into the desert to get some peace and quiet, to get some solitude, to confront themselves in the company of the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting, the writings from those monks, because they so often talk about fighting with demons. Fighting with what came out from in themselves. That might be the same for us. You know, there might be things that we need, and I'm thinking particularly of myself, of course, as well, that we need to confront in our own lives and deal with. And it won't happen overnight, because this is a process after all. But these monks went out and they found a cave to live in, and there were nuns as well, what became nuns as well. And they would pray. And they would fast. And of course you might have the opportunity to do that in Lent, which is not all that far away now. And take a real good hard look at yourselves and what's going on in your life, in my life. All our lives. Because Jesus is concerned about this inner part of us that does need sometimes fixing. Because what we often do when we're in this pre-programmed state is we overlook all those things in us that could do with some attention, but it's very easy to find all those in other people. And Jesus is saying, if you want that living water in life, if you want that meaning, you have to do something in your own life as well. If you want that water to run freely in your life, instead of stagnating, instead of looking brackish, then you have to join in. You have to participate with what God wants for you in order to find meaning. So how can we do that? Well, prayer is the key to it. And we hear this each week, but maybe we hear it so often sometimes we underrate the importance of it. But prayer isn't necessarily what we say or even think. Prayer ultimately is what we are and what we are about. It is a state that we enter into. And of course it's important we acknowledge that vocally with our voices, but there comes a time where you have to move beyond that into yourself in the presence of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit and have a good look at who we are, to see ourselves as God sometimes sees us. And that can be difficult, because so often we want to we can condemn ourselves, can't we, in a way that God doesn't. And sometimes we have to learn to see ourselves as God does, to recognise that there are things that need sorting out, and yet to have the grace and strength provided by the Holy Spirit to move on in our lives, to move to the new place that God wants us. And of course, Jesus speaks with the woman about this in terms of the situation in his day. She brings up a little later on in that conversation the topic of the temple and where people worship. And Jesus says, yes, we can have that discussion about the temple. Is it here in Samaria, or should it be here, or is it in Jerusalem? But actually, you know what? It's beyond that. It's beyond that, because meaning is bigger than all of us. The truth is bigger than all of us. It doesn't matter what background we've had, where we come from, where we're going. God will be working equally in every one of us because we are his children. And ultimately that will take us to a place in spirit and in truth. That's where meaning is to be found. And that's a journey that God takes us all on daily. Not just on Sunday, not just when we remember to think about God. It's happening all the time. So that's part of the journey that we are all called to go on as Christians. The lady says to Jesus, well, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. Why are we talking like this? We shouldn't even really be talking like this. But Jesus moves to a different place and is looking at this whole situation from a different perspective. And that's what we have to learn to do. And God will help us to do that in the various situations that we find ourselves in life. Because he moves us beyond the limitations that we sometimes impose on ourselves. You know, we can often think of excuses. We don't really want to change sometimes, do we? Let's face it. A lot of the time, we like who we are, even the bad bits. Because better the devil you know than the devil you don't. And to change into something else takes courage. To change into what God wants us takes courage, because it means saying goodbye to that other person that we're possibly more familiar with. Or at least we know the territory. So you can live with that. I can live with that. But to do something new, to do something different, that takes real courage. To look for meaning in those new places where we didn't expect it. To look beyond the Jew and the Samaritan into some different place. That can take real courage. Because God wants to transform us into something different. And of course, the disciples had a glimpse of that when Jesus was transfigured. But God calls us all to be like that. You must have heard, or maybe you have heard the saying, what Jesus was by nature, or is by nature, we are by grace. So this isn't the end of it. Every week we come here, we're doing it for a purpose in our search for meaning. The reason we come each week to church, attend each church activity that we go to, it's for a reason. This isn't the end, this is just the beginning. Okay, this is just the beginning. So it's not we get to the end of the week or the beginning of the week and we're back in church. No, we are here for a purpose. And that purpose is the transformation of our lives. And not just our lives, but the community around us. Because if you get meaning in your life, and God will give it to you, it means you have a responsibility to share that with other people. We can't just sit back and say, it's worked for me, well done. Because God is bigger than all of us. We are all his children. Even the people that don't come to church are his children. We need to be able to help those people to have a fresh vision, a new vision, just as we need a fresh and new vision. How are they going to know if we don't help them? How is our community going to get a better place if we don't help it become a better place? You know, we can sit in our houses and say, oh, things are going down the drain, you know, society is deteriorating. But all it takes for that to continue happening is for us to do nothing. You know? All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. And it will happen. So the question is, now we've found meaning in God, in Jesus, in that daily journey with the Holy Spirit, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to use it for? And this is what we need to go on to think about very carefully. And of course, on our own, it can seem very daunting, but we're not on our own. We're not sitting here today or standing here on our own. That's why we come to church, to meet together, to join in fellowship, to draw on God's power and enthusiasm and encouragement to go out into our various places and spread the word that there is meaning in life. There is a purpose that we are all called to participate in. Now, I know that doesn't always go down well in some parts of society now. And unfortunately, the media often portray society as something that is secular. You know? That there's no space for people like us, with belief like us. But I tell you this, people like that are basically in the minority. And we have to help them to see something bigger and something better. And we can do. You know, there's one, I can't remember the guy's name, but I like astronomy quite a lot. And there was some programs about the universe, and they've got this young chap, he's a doctor of astrophysics somewhere here in Britain. And I'm looking at that program, and I'm thinking how wonderful the universe looks. You know, how wonderful, that there's meaning inherent in the nature of matter around us. You can see God's hand has created it. And yet, on the program itself, he's speaking as if there is no God, as if it's all just some chance, that it's all just worked out like this. And the impression is, if you think anything different, there's something wrong with you. But we are here to challenge that viewpoint. We are here to say there is another way, that there is meaning all around us. That when you walk out to the shops, when you get on the bus, God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. That we are in living water all the time. We just have to take the time to realize that. But you see, being a teacher, I sometimes get this, you know, particularly as an RE teacher. Sir, do you believe in God? Sir, yeah, I do, of course I do. And it's a privilege to be able to share like that, sometimes on a daily basis, about the kind of perspective we have here on life. It's very good. And each one of you will have those kind of opportunities. And I don't mean you need to be breathing down someone's neck or, you know, there's all the caricatures, aren't there, of people that sort of don't know when to have a talk about their faith. I don't mean like that, of course. But there are moments each day in your own particular ways, in your own areas of life, where it will be appropriate to share something of your faith to help counterbalance that drift in society or apparent drift towards secularism. Excuse me, sorry. And I think that's very important, because then we are continuing that process, continuing that conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well. It's very important for our society to hear that. Very important for Croydon to hear that. I'm sure you all agree with me on that. If you don't, you can harass me at the end. So, thinking a little about what we've thought about this morning, we have to have the courage to look at who we are, to see ourselves, if we can, with God's eyes, so to speak, from his perspective. And to be honest about that. Because in all our lives, there are things to celebrate and there are things to put right. And we have to be honest about that. You know, sometimes as Christians we think we've just got to concentrate on the negative stuff. We don't. Okay? There's as much in our lives to celebrate as there is to sort out. And if we give any other impression, I think, as Christians, if it's all negative, then maybe we need to go back and look at what Jesus said about life and about people to reorientate our perspective. It's quite interesting. I quite like New Testament Greek. I don't want to bore you or anything like that this morning, but I think there's some important insights we can get from that. And the word for sin, hamartia, I don't know if you've heard that before. Some of you have done GCSE English and stuff might have heard it. But hamartia is sin. But the actual meaning for that is missing the mark. You know, if you're an archer or a javelin thrower and you don't get it right in the middle of your target, you're missing the mark. Hopefully you don't miss the target altogether. And that goes for us in our daily lives. But it means, this word sin means that in some way we've missed the mark. It doesn't mean we've totally messed up. I mean, occasionally it might do. But those daily occurrences when we just don't manage to do things quite as well as we wanted. It's quite an interesting way of looking at it, I think, and can help give us a sense of perspective in what Jesus wants us to do in our lives. Likewise, the word for repentance, when we repent, you know, it's a well-used word. But what does it really mean? Metanoia is the Greek word for it, metanoia. It means to change the way you think, to think outside the box, which is precisely what Jesus is asking the woman at the well to do, to think outside the usual ways that we have of thinking. That's what repentance is. Obviously, there is the element of saying sorry as well. We're going to do something differently. But you can only do something differently if you've thought about it differently. Otherwise, you're trapped in the same old cycle which Jesus is there to help us out of. Because we're always moving towards spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Beyond Samaria, beyond Judea, beyond Croydon, beyond London, Britain. Move it to where you want. God will be there and he's waiting for us. God is there to give us the meaning that we are looking for in our daily lives. So my prayer is this, that all of us understand what God has given us in a deeper and greater way from day to day, and that we are in a position to use that to help other people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.